Accession number 11363, reel 5.
Five.
Ah, well, we finished there and we went back to Suva, finished topped up with deck cargo, bags in bags of deck, you know, loaded, finished off loaded deck cargo in bags. And we started up back up towards Vancouver then. After about a week, two or three weeks out. All the meat went bad in the fridge, so they had to ditch all beef and chickens and the whole lot. I think whether there's some trouble with the fridge or whatever it was. Anyway, we now fresh meat. Then the next thing we ran out of. Potatoes. Then the flour was all mouldy. I won't go into all of it. Water was short in the end, and it was best part of a month before we got back to San Francisco. We called in there and stocked up with fresh supply and fresh water. And we returned then to Vancouver, and we paid off, well, we came off there and went back into the barracks at Esquimalt. So we were, I forget exactly, about a couple of months we were there, and we were drafted to a ship, the Sam Tarner, which was a Liberty ship, and it was loading wheat in Vancouver for Bombay. Well, it doesn't take long to put a load of wheat on, about 2 days, I think, a day or 2 days. And we loaded and we left and cross the Pacific to Port Moresby.
New Guinea.
In New Guinea, yeah. We went in there for bunkers. We went from there to, we picked up a pilot somewhere around about that point. And we went to Port Darwin. And we were there one day, we were there 2 days. The second day we came out, it was VJ Day, the war finished. But prior to that, on the way through into Port Moresby, we had to go through the Solomon Islands. And we got, the only bits of news you ever got was just a little bulletin on the notice board. It was only very brief, that you know. And the one bulletin went up that they dropped a bomb the size of 30,000 tons of TNT on Hiroshima. And they thought, you know, we were a bit, you know, what to think. Thought, well, it shouldn't be long now, you know, the war might be on. And the next, I think it was the following day or a day or so after, they dropped the other one. And the bulletin went up. And we arrived in Darwin, and then it was officially VJ Day. And when we came out, all the ships were blowing the sirens and bunting, you know, just over all. And everybody was cock-a-hoop, the war was over. But, the war was actually over before we got to Darwin. And they gave it out on the radio. And one of the watchkeepers came down, it was in the early hours, and woke everybody up. He said, the war's over, and they said, oh, bugger off, you know, you're pulling out. You thought he was having a bit of a leg pull. But he came back a few minutes after with a bottle or something, a bottle of spirits. And we realised he was telling the truth then. The captain sent us a drink. down into Africa to celebrate the end of the war.
What were the celebrations like on shore in Darwin?
Well, there was absolutely nothing in Darwin. It was absolutely bomb flat. All there were a few temporary buildings.
It was completely devastated?
Oh, why? Yeah, and full of wrecks, the harbour was. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing there. And outside the town, it was just desert, you know, the northern territory.
You mean there were no buildings left standing?
There's nothing at all left standing in Darwin, I could see. Just one or two Nissen huts and whatever. There were no, I didn't see any ship. Well, we weren't there long enough to see much of it. But I couldn't see much. And there was a big, I think it was one of the little funnel boats stuck in the middle, I can remember that, in the middle of the harbour. And with all this upper work showing. That was the only, you know, big wreck there. But there was doors, several wrecks that still hadn't been raised, you know, in there was absolutely nothing there. We did go ashore for a couple of hours, just to, you know, for a stretch of
leave. What, and you said there weren't any Australian civilians around?
Well, I didn't see, if there were, there must have been civilians about, but, you know, the brief time we were there, we didn't come into contact with any. No, I think they must have cleared the area of civilian, of all the unnecessary civilians, you know.
And do I understand then that you went right through the wall without being attacked by the enemy or coming across the enemy at all?
Never.
Either Japanese or German?
No, never. The only, as I said, the only time we thought we'd seen a submarine, we saw a periscope, what we thought was a periscope. Well, it was probably more than likely, but we're off, we went towards Aden. We reported it. And of course, we were, it was astern, well astern, you know. It wouldn't, no way of catching us. Even if he wanted to, you know, he couldn't.
And of course, you never fired your gun in anger?
No. Well, when we came up on the Pintail from the Panama Canal, when we came from Panama up, we were moving up towards Savannah. The early hours, it's always happened around about on the middle watch. And on the middle watch, 12 to 4, there was sighted what was thought a submarine. A lot of phosphorus in the water there around the, you know, the West Indies. And they saw wake what they thought there might be a submarine. We were on the aftergun, two of us. And they phoned down from the region, have you seen this wake? And we said, no. And they said, they gave us the bearing where it was. But they were in a better position to see it first, you know. They pointed that way. And they said, does it look like a wake to you? But before we could answer that, they'd sounded off action stations. So everybody, we weren't on the, I wasn't on the 4-inch. My action station was on the Oricans, on the 20mm. So I had a respect. So we were all in position, and the guns were all, guns they could train on this target, on this thing. So he said, well, you don't fire till you're told to fire, see. And they emphasised this, you don't fire till you're ordered to. So we were there already. And the captain apparently said, we'll ram it. So he altered course to ram it. When we got, you know, shortened the distance between it, he changed his mind and said, oh, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And he sheared off. And as he sheared off, the big oldest lamp must have been that big, flashed. It was an American patrol boat. And he got the goal, he was challenging us, asking us who we were, where we were bound for and whatever. But he don't know how close he came to being either rammed or blown, you know, we couldn't have missed him very well. But that was the only scary bit.
Where and when was that?
This was in 43, should be about the end of June, 43.
Whereabouts?
Between Panama and the, you know, off the West Indies somewhere. You know, off Cuba, around that way. Because when you come up from Panama, You come up through the West Indies. We could see the lights of Havana, and you know, they're pointing out the different lights, different towns, cities. You see the lights in the sky of the different places.